Let's get into it. My name's Ken. I'm on staff here at Every Nation Melbourne, and we are in our third week of our series, WORD, which is based on our values. WORD is an acronym, W-O-R-D, stands for Worship, Outreach, Relationship, and Discipleship. And so today, we're going to be talking about our third value, relationship. So first of all, our first value is worship. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the King. He rules now over his kingdom, and our glad response for his life, death, resurrection, and rule is worship. Obedience, giving, singing, witness, and declaration, to name just a few facets of the worshipful life. Our life of worship of Jesus as King is our daily intentional relationship with him. Do you know, if something is valuable, then you are willing to pay a high price. You're willing to give. If something's valuable, you will pay a lot of money for it. If it's valuable to you, you're willing to pay a higher price. What greater price, what's the greatest price anyone can pay? It's their life. You know that throughout church history, Christians have died because they worship Jesus. All throughout church history, all for thousands. You know what Christians are good at doing? Of all the world religions, what Christians are good at doing, what Christians are better than any other world religion. We win the gold medal in this category. Christians are the best at dying. Even today, more Christians are killed for their faith. Today, in 2019, more Christians are killed for their faith. They count the value of the worship of Jesus, their obedient, glad response to a glorious King. They count that so valuable. They won't reject Jesus. They won't deny Jesus, even if it costs them their life. Brothers and sisters, you know, brothers and sisters all around the world, throughout church history, but even around the world today, they don't look like us, they don't sound like us, they don't even worship like us. They worship Jesus differently. They even believe different things to us, but what they do believe is that Jesus is worthy of worship, that he is valuable enough, that this value of worship of Jesus is worth their life. Their obedient response, they believe maybe even slightly different things, but their obedient response is to a glorious King. Their obedient response to a glorious King is to be martyred for him. Now, I remember when 20 Coptic Christians in Egypt were executed by ISIS on the beach on the Mediterranean in Egypt, and they just said, "I love you, Jesus." That was what they were saying as they were being executed. You know, you might look at Coptic Christians and think, oh, they have icons, they use incense and smells, and they're very different, right? Looks very different to what we do here. But they die for Jesus because they value worship of him. One little thing, I just want us to be a people that are humble when it comes to our Christianity. That when other brothers and sisters that look different to us, that worship differently to us, maybe even believe slightly different things to us, that we're not so proud about our version of Christianity, that we're humble enough to accept a wider stream of it, especially when it's demonstrated by people willing to die for Jesus. Our second value is outreach. A natural extension of our worshipful relationship with Jesus is his heart becomes our heart. His kingdom becomes our kingdom, and his mission becomes our mission. We exist, and it is our joy to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the promised King of God's people, who has come to pay the price for our rebellion against him, to heal humanity of its brokenness, and to lead us into the fullness of the new creation. We live a life of outreach by intentionally creating space in our minds and daily lives for those who don't know Jesus as their King. With our minds, we outreach through prayer, and with our daily lives, we outreach through inviting people to be part of our lives, our homes, and our community. Christians have died throughout all of church history and today because they value worship. Christians have died all throughout church history and today because they value outreach. They value telling people about how great Jesus is. Values can be a matter of life and death. You know, if we really live these values, they can be a matter of life and death. Brings us to our third value, which is relationship. Our third value is relationship. Let's have a look at what the Bible has to say. Luke chapter 18. Peter said to him, this is verse 28. Peter said to him, Jesus. This is just a little bit of context. This is immediately after the young rich ruler has come to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life and to inherit the kingdom? And the guy says that he's been really law observant. He's kept all the laws since his youth. And Jesus says, do one more thing. Go and sell all of your possessions and give it to the poor. And he walks away sad because he can't do it. It's rich. Jesus says, it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that blew the mind of the disciples, because in the Jewish worldview of the day, first century Palestine, what they thought was the more rich you were, the more blessed by God you were. The more material possessions you have, the closer your relationship with Jesus, with God must be. And Jesus is turning it upside down and saying, no, doesn't matter how much money you have. That doesn't mean that you're righteous or holy. God doesn't bless you with riches just because you're holy or moral necessarily. And they say, so how's it this even possible? How's this possible for anyone to be saved? And Jesus says, you've got to follow me. You've got to give up everything and follow me. And this is when Peter says, this is Peter's response. Peter said to him, we have left all that we had to follow you. Have you ever reminded God of the sacrifices you made for him? Do you ever say, God, no. Remember what I gave up for you to follow you, God? Who's ever been like Peter? You know, I can see Peter almost complaining to Jesus. I've left everything to follow you, Jesus. I know, I've done that. Maybe you guys are a bit more holy than me. Maybe you guys are not as self-pitying at times. I've done this a lot. God, I could have been a surveyor in the mines earning, you know, $150,000. I could have been working in Papua New Guinea, earning tax-free dollars, or in the Middle East, all this. I could be rolling in dough right now. God, I gave it all up for you. Aren't I great? Look at all the sacrifices I've made. That's what Peter did. Well, I've left everything, Jesus. I've left everything to follow you. And this is what Jesus' response. This is kind of what he says to me as well. This is what he says to all of us. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brother or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. So, you know, Jesus offers me any sacrifice I've made, any sacrifice Peter made, any sacrifice I've made, any sacrifice you've made is worth it, right? It's a small price to pay to be with Jesus in the new creation, for sure. But our reward isn't only when we die, is it? Because in this passage, Jesus says, "You will. No one who's given up everything to follow me for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age. And in the age to come, eternal life. Our reward is not just when after we die. It's here and now. And it's greater than whatever we give up. Now, what's Jesus saying that people are giving up to follow him? They're giving up their wife. Let's just go straight for the heart of it, Jesus. Just go to the biggest thing, the greatest loss you could possibly have. What greater relational loss could you have than giving up your wife to follow Jesus? There's none. Oh, maybe there is, actually. Maybe children, I suppose. Depends on how much you like your wife and how much you like your children. But no one who has left home or wife. So there's material things there, home, but it's mostly relational, isn't it? Wife, brothers, sisters, parents, or children. How many parents do we have here? Quite a few of us. Imagine giving up a relationship with your child to pursue something of greater value. Could you do it? If you had to choose between Jesus and the closest relationships in your life, who would you choose? And in this context, Jesus says, you give up all of that, I'll give you more. In this life, what's he talking about? How is it possible to have the most intimate of human relationships replaced? Not just one for one, but many times over. How can family be replaced? Well, this is how. If you leave one set of relationships to follow Jesus, Jesus will give you many times more in the church. The church, us, right here in this room, the church is Jesus' promise to those who give up family to follow him. I know what you're thinking. The church, this group of people, the people who don't shake my hand when I come to church, the people, the church that's full of conflict and hypocrites, of broken relationships, of manipulation, the church that's full of cliques. You know, all the cool kids hang out over there, and you know, I'm left on the side by myself, and you know, the people from the east and the people in the west got their own little thing happening, and they're really? The answer for me giving up my wife and my children to follow Jesus to receive many times more in this age is the people of God, the church. The church is full of conflict and hypocrites and broken relationships and manipulation and cliques and abuse. Tell me about it. I've got the t-shirt. I've been through all of that. It's happened to me, and you know what? I've done it to people. And if you've been in the church long enough, you could put yourself in column A and column B as well. The church can be the church can be very dysfunctional, but it can also be something very different. The church can be something very different if and when we choose to value relationship with each other. If we choose to value relationship with each other like the church has valued worship throughout church history, and the people of God have valued outreach throughout church history to the point that they are willing to die for the worship of Jesus and for reaching out and telling the world about him. If and when every nation in Melbourne choose to value relationship with each other to the point of they're giving up their life even, then the promise that Jesus made can be fulfilled. Is it possible? Well, let's have a look. Acts chapter 2. Remember Acts chapter 2? We've come back here a few times this year. It's funny enough, we've got family feed coming up next week, which is good. All who believe, this is verse 44, all who believed were together. After the Holy Spirit has been poured out in Pentecost. Holy Spirit's poured out. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem till a Spirit is poured out when you receive power and you receive the Holy Spirit and you'll be my witnesses all throughout the world. And the Holy Spirit's poured out on the day of Pentecost, and this is the result. This is what happens because the Holy Spirit was poured out. Acts chapter 2 verse 44 to 46 happens. All who believed were together and held everything in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and distributing the proceeds to everyone as anyone had need. Every day they continued to gather together by common consent in the temple courts, breaking bread from house to house, sharing their food with glad and humble hearts. This is a church that values relationship. This, what we're reading here, Acts chapter 2, this is a church that values relationship. It died for the worship of Jesus. This Acts chapter 2 church, the early church, it died for the worship of Jesus. It died to outreach to the world, to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave them. This was a family of people from around the world. How many languages, how many people groups are mentioned in Acts chapter 2. Does anyone know? Just off the top of your head. 17 different nations from the Roman Empire and beyond. They were God-fearing. They were Jews. They were Jewish. Like the Jews spread throughout the around the Mediterranean world and through Asia, West Asia. So they were Jews, but they had different languages. They had different customs. They had common customs as well, but they were also very different. So it wasn't just like it was one group of people. This is people from around the world. This was a family from around the world, 17 different nations, and all of a sudden they're selling their property to feed each other. They valued relationship and they became a family. They became a family that did life together. They worshipped because of relationship. They worshipped together because of relationship. They did mission together because of relationship. They became a family that fed each other, a family that sacrificed for each other to the point of death. Can we be that kind of family here and now? Here and right now, can we today in 2019 in Melbourne, can we be that kind of family? Can we be that kind of church? Can we have that kind of relationship? Well, not in our own strength. You know, the dysfunction in church comes when we try to supplement the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about unity through human means. In trying to bring about unity through human means, you centralize power, you bring manipulation and control and all sorts of things, and that's when you get dysfunction. But through the strength of the Holy Spirit, like Dirk was alluding to this before, about how Jesus built his church, by the power of the Spirit, we can be a church that values relationship. Only the Holy Spirit can enable this. Why is that? Well, relationships are difficult because humans are complicated. Have you noticed that? Maybe in your workplace or in your own natural family, or maybe right here in this church, you recognize that we as human beings are complicated. That we have different languages, different cultures, different histories, different experiences, different triggers, right? That word that's thrown around a lot, I'm triggered. Like something that happens, something that's just completely normal to me and doesn't affect or faze me whatsoever could cause you to be angry at me for the next 2 years and not want to speak to me. I don't even know that I've triggered you because it's just normal. We have different things, different buttons that are pressed in our lives, right? Different languages, histories, experiences, triggers, different hopes, different dreams, different stories. Humans are complicated. Relationships are difficult because of that. But you know what? Because of our differences, because of our complication, our relationships, you know, we'll get there. But it's worth it. And what I'm saying is it's worth it. Relationships, so complicated. Relationships are difficult because humans are complicated. Relationships are difficult because they need conflict. Who loves conflict? Who loves it? Who loves just, you know what? I just want to come in there, I'm just going to tell them how I feel, and I'm going to risk rejection, I'm going to risk all these different things, but I love conflict. I hate conflict. Most human beings, I remember I was seeing a psychologist for a while, just talking about processing different things, and I said, you know what, I'm kind of conflict averse, and you know, I probably should be better at dealing with that because I'm a senior pastor now. And he said, most humans are. Most humans are conflict averse. Like we don't like it. It's not comfortable. It makes us feel different, feel strange. But relationships are difficult because real relationship needs conflict. You know what a relationship is without conflict? Superficial. Shallow. We do a lot of pre-marriage counseling, marriage counseling, and we always say, basically, our marriage counseling is, pre-marriage counseling is, you guys need to talk about things that might potentially cause conflict and know how to do it healthily. Because if you don't talk about things because you're afraid of conflict, what will happen is that you'll end up separated. Or your marriage will be suboptimal because someone is not being truly who they are. Relationships without conflict are superficial, but we love to pretend that everything's harmonious, right? Because it takes hard work to work through conflict. Relationships are difficult because they need conflict. Conflict is inevitable, but greater strength and greater witness to who Jesus is on the other side of the pain and discomfort of conflict. So with the early church, the Holy Spirit's poured out. You know what happens? There's conflict comes. There's Greek-speaking Jews and there's Hebrew-speaking Jews. And the Greek-speaking Jews are being left out in the distribution of food. People have sold their properties to be able to feed the poor members of their family, of this new family, of this new expression of the people of God. And there's racism is breaking out in the early church. This is
days, weeks, months after the Holy Spirit is poured out for the first time upon all flesh and racism is in the church. Conflict. But they deal with it and they're stronger and they grow through it. Their witness is more powerful. So relationships are difficult because humans are complicated. Relationships are difficult because they need conflict. Relationships are difficult because they take commitment. There's a word, there's another C word, isn't there, that defines relationship in the Bible. And it's stronger than commitment. It's covenant. Relationships are difficult because biblical relationships are covenantal relationships. Covenantal relationships. What's the covenantal relationship we have in our society today? It's marriage. Can we value relationship so much so? Look, we don't have to be all best buddies, right? BFFs forever. We don't have to be that. We don't have to be doing everything all the time. And if I'm going to do something and you have to come along and we have to, you know, we have to be in, I'm always hugging you or whatever, and just like we're holding hands, walking down the street. We don't have to do that. But can we have covenantal relationship? Where we're committed to each other. Where if we offend one another, which inevitably happens, we talk about it. Where if there's confusion or hurt, this is what Dirk was sharing. Jesus prioritizes, God prioritizes relationship over our giving to him. Relationships are difficult because they take commitment. Just like worship is more than singing, just like worship is more than singing, relationship is more than us being in the same room for 2 hours on a Sunday. Maybe we could do relationship in our own strength. But relationships take commitment. Maybe, Mel, you mind joining me up here? Relationship is hard. Relationship is hard because humans are complicated. There's conflict and there's testing. And it's for the rest of our lives, right? It's forever. It keeps happening. It gets easier if we practice at it, if we work at it, like anything gets easier. But relationship is hard because humans are complicated. There's conflict and testing and it's our whole life. It's not just a moment. It takes the Holy Spirit to make it possible. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to value relationship. And we have to be willing to serve, feed and sacrifice for each other. Just like in the book of Acts. So Ken, if it's all hard, because we're complicated and there's conflicts and it's forever and we need the Holy Spirit and we've got to be willing to serve and encourage one another and feed and sacrifice for each other, why? Why value it? Why do it? What's the payoff? Well, our relationship with each other is our greatest outreach tool. And Jesus said that. The world will know that you are my disciples. They will know. Not because of the theology that you preach. Not because of the jewelry that you wear. The things that you don't do or do. They will know by your love for one another. So why value relationship? Because it's our greatest outreach tool. It shows the world that Jesus is great. And we see this in Acts chapter 2, right? Let me read this again. Verse 44. All who believed were together and held everything in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and distributing the proceeds to everyone as anyone had need. Every day they continued to gather together by common consent in the temple courts, breaking bread from house to house, sharing their food with glad and humble hearts. Verse 47. This is the last verse.
of Acts chapter 2. Praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number every day those who were being saved. And we value relationship at Every Nation Melbourne. And you know, all of our values, we don't claim to be perfect in these values, right? These are our aspirations. These are our goals. This is what we're positioning ourselves for. This is the trajectory that we are setting ourselves on. We don't perfectly worship Jesus. We're not perfectly selfless in our outreach. And our relationships, they need work. Especially when we're spread out all across the city. And I make all these jokes about the East and the West. But we do aspire to these values. We value relationship at Every Nation Melbourne. Next week is Family Feed. Family Feed? Yeah, we're trying to be like the church in Acts. We're trying to get around together with food. We're trying to pray for each other. We're trying to spend time with one another. We want to take communion together. We got Church 246, August 18. We're taking church out into the different districts of Melbourne. Once again, having communion together around a meal in each other's homes, praying for one another. We have life groups throughout the week. Just as the name suggests, we do life together. Because it's more than just coming together on a Sunday. You know, I love you guys, right? I want us to love each other. Just like as a father, I see my kids and they fight sometimes. I just want them to love each other. We have life groups because we want to do life together. Be involved in each other's lives. It's more than just the religious side of things, right? We value relationship because relationship makes our worship true. We value relationship because relationship makes our outreach more powerful. We value relationship, even though it's hard, even though we're complicated and there's conflict and it takes a covenantal commitment. We value relationship because it is the reward for our sacrifice. Jesus, I've given up so much for you. I could have been a rich surveyor, even though no one knows what surveyors do. I could have been rich. Oh, I'm richer now. I'm richer now because of the relationships that Jesus has given me with you. And I thank God for that. You know what I long for? I want this family to grow. I want the relationships, the love that I have for you, that we have for each other, I want that to be shared with people who are looking for family. There is a city full of loneliness. There's a city full of people who are just looking to belong somewhere. And can they belong here? If we value relationship, yes, they can. All right, hand over to Tina. Thanks, Tina.